Galatians chapter 3 tonight, verse 14. Does anybody out there have needs tonight? Does anybody have a need that you're praying about? Things that you're concerned about? Spiritual needs, physical needs, emotional needs, things like that? Let's go to the Lord on all those behalves this evening. Heavenly Father, we come to you boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. We come with our emotional hurts. And Lord, we pray that you meet those things with your hope and your joy and your peace. We come to you with our physical needs, Lord God, that you give us the strength to either walk through those physical needs or you remove those physical needs. And Lord, we come to you and we just say thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross that we might have eternal life, but yet then have the comfort of the Holy Spirit that will lead, guide, and direct us through this world to give us a hope that's just not temporal but eternal. I pray for the congregation tonight that every burden that they have, everything that they're carrying, that you meet the need. There's several people in the room said, I have a need. Lord, you know those needs, and we pray that you'd show out and show up. And next week when we meet, you say, hey, do we have those needs? And some of these people will raise their hand and say, God met the need, or he changed it, or done something miraculous in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 3 and verse, I got it marked a little bit different. 3:14. But I can't help but preach this every time I get to Revelations and I get to the seven churches. And I'm going to preach on Laodicea tonight. But every time I get here, I can't help but think of the seven rewards that are mentioned in the seven churches. I know it's kind of neat, but every one of the seven churches at Asia Minor, there is a reward for each one of the churches. I want to tell you this, we receive every one of those rewards as believers. Amen? Which is really cool. Which I like. My favorite one is in Revelation 2, and it's at the church of Pergamos. And it's listed in verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, that's us, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, praise God, and I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. That's where we get that song, I got a new name, written down in glory. Amen? That's where we get that. And that, I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me excited that one day, me and God, me and Jesus, me and the Holy Spirit, y'all bear with me because I'm a little bit tired, but I want y'all to get this. All of a sudden, he's going to pull me aside, and he's going to take this white stone, and I just got a picture. He's got his arm around me. He goes, this is what I call it. This is your name. God, that's, I don't know about y'all, but that gets me there. All right, Revelations 3:14, the church at Laodicea. Y'all are not going to believe this. I know there's one person here definitely going to believe this. But I started thinking on this message 2 days ago, and the last time I heard somebody else preach it, the title of it, which I'm going to use the title tonight, is Don't Run Around Like a Chicken with Your Head Cut Off. Well, today I had a big confirmation with that message. Today we went to the hospital, and Savannah was having her surgery. Well, me and Peyton got there early, and we were sitting there, and we were wondering if we'd seen Rebecca and them pull up, and they were in their Jeep for a good long while, so me and Peyton finally said, we're going to go out there and see what's going on. Well, we go out there, and sure enough, we get about maybe 20 yards from Rebecca and his Jeep. Rebecca rolls down her window, or it's got it rolled down. She goes, come here. And I'm like, what, is the drug deal going bad or what? She's like, over here. So we come up, get to the car, and she goes, you're not going to believe this, but right over there. And there's a road between, there was a parking spot and a pull-in, and another row of parking lot. She goes, I believe there's a chicken in that trooper, in that car right there. And I look over and I'm like, what? She goes, there's a chicken in there. And all the windows are rolled up and everything, and all of a sudden, sure enough, chicken's head, it goes back down. So I go closer to investigate. I get over there, and the chicken's in the driver's seat. So I take a picture, right? And then I proceed to make chicken jokes the rest of the day. And I told him, I said, I'm going to preach this message tonight. You didn't do it. There's no way. I wouldn't say that I was just dead on spot on the title, but I did think of that this week, and then there's that confirmation. The craziest thing now, on the way home back across the mountain, me and Peyton ran into another man who had a full-grown parakeet on his shoulder while he was driving. It was birds in car day. That's what that was. But anyway, that being said, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, don't run around like a chicken with your head cut off. As a church. Let's put that in the part. As a church. And I'm glad it's Wednesday night, and I'm glad I could teach this on Wednesday night because we are the core of the church. And I'm not, I know there's, we're having a marriage retreat, and some have already retreated, I guess. Or they're packing for the retreat, so we're kind of down the number. But we have to know this is a church. Somebody told me one time, Wednesday night is like, you know, the church is like a bullseye. It's got all these different rings. And Wednesday night is the core. It's the bullseye of your church. So that's who you, we can't get rid of you guys. I've been trying for like 3 weeks preaching on those, you know, foundational faith. Y'all keep showing up. You're the core, okay? So y'all can handle a message like this because it challenges us not to be this church age even though we're in this church age. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We are in the Laodicean church age. This is describing what the modern day church looks like, but what we're going to have to do as believers is kind of be a church out of time. Amen? We're going to have to be a remnant. We want to be a church that doesn't fit the mold of the Laodicean church. But it won't be easy. It won't be easy. Because the Laodicean church is a chicken running around, its head cut off. And let's get in and see why. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church at Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen. I love every one of these churches describes Jesus. John describes him in Revelation chapter 1, but he describes him for each church. Amen says, let it be so. Let it be. Listen, Jesus in heaven is known as let it be so. That means everything the Word of God says, everything has proceeded out of God's mouth is let it be so through Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, literally, He is the Amen. If God said it, it'll be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that awesome? He is the let it be so of heaven. Man, that's a stamp, right? That is a stamp. The faithful and true witness, even better, right? He's faithful and the true witness of God. The beginning of the creation of God. What does that mean? Jesus has always been. From Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between, God reiterates that Jesus has always been. God became a man and dwelt among us. Amen? God, that's God in the very beginning. Now here He is again in Revelations at the very end of the book saying, you know at the beginning of this thing Jesus was there too? That's the same Jesus. In all these churches, he's always been there. He's there from the beginning to the end. Amen? I love how He describes Him to the church at Laodicea. He's the same church. He's the same Jesus for the most spiritual church, the most faithful church, and the one that's the most wayward church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because guess what? Sometimes I can be the most spiritual Christian, and I can be the most unspiritual Christian. I know none of y'all can be that way. But I can be one of the most faithful people and sometimes be one of the most unfaithful people. I'm sorry, I know y'all can't be. Y'all ain't amen to those things, but that's true. Amen. But you know what? God's the same for me is He over here as He is over there. If I'm the best or if I'm the worst, He's still God for me. He's still the Amen. He's still the faithful witness. He is still who He says He is. He's still the one in the beginning for me. Thank God. I'm glad in Laodicea didn't say, and God in Laodicea, Jesus in Laodicea, he's not for you. He's not as big for you. He's as big for you as he is anybody else. Amen? How many of y'all need God to be God in spite of how you do? Guess what? We need God to be God in this church. Do you know, I want to say this, it's kind of hard to preach because I don't like saying this. You know God will show out sometimes despite of us. Did you know that? He'll show up and save somebody despite of how we're doing. He'll show up and save one of our loved ones or bless somebody or do some miracle in their life despite of how we're operating. Have you ever had that happen? You're sitting there going, man, God's being better to me than I deserve. It's amazing. That's why I don't ever mark down how good God does by how good I'm doing. Amen. I usually just say God's good and he deals with me accordingly. Amen. I love this stuff. I love how the Word of God is. Verse 15. This is hard to read, ain't it? I know thy works. Underline that and underline it and understand and know it. God knows the works of the church. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Amen? Listen to what he says. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. I'm always, when I'm reading this, I'm like, God, you mean you would want me to be cold? And he said, I think you'd rather us be hot. I've got an illustration of this, how Laodicea was. Laodicea was a very rich port city, one of the richest places on the planet at the time. They had so much money that they were hit by a storm and utterly destroyed. And Rome came along and said, we'll rebuild you. And they said, we don't need your money. We can rebuild ourselves. Okay? That's how well off they were. But what they were lacking was fresh water and mineral water. What they would do is they had aqueducts and they would pump in mineral water to Laodicea and they would pump in fresh water to Laodicea. The fresh water they would pump in would be nice and cold. And the mineral water they pumped in would be hot. When what they wanted is the mineral water to be hot where they could bathe in it and get the nutrients and all the things from the mineral water and the drinking water, they wanted that to be cold. And what they were saying is sometimes in transit, the hot water would cool down and the cold water would heat up. And it would show up at the location of Laodicea and it was about useless for both. Amen? You're not any good to bathe in and you're no good to drink. Amen? That's what God is saying. He said when you get lukewarm, you're not hot, and guess what? And you're not good to consume. Christian, you're not better than anybody, you're not strengthening anybody, you're not bringing any nutrients to the world, and guess what? You're just not good to consume. And then in my own personal life, I know this to be true. I would rather deal with somebody who's cold against me or hot against me than somebody who's just lukewarm. Amen? That's the one that probably fits our mold as much as anything today, is we got a lot of Christians who consider themselves doing really great because they're just lukewarm. I make it to church. I'm a member of a church. I do a lot of things at the church. Amen. But man, God would like you to have a fervency fire about you. Amen. Or, I hate to say this because it hurts, he'd almost rather you be cold. That way he'd know where you'd stand. Amen. I'd rather somebody either love me or hate me, but not be in the middle. Amen. Because then you don't know where they stand. So I'd rather you be cold or hot. Amen. But I like that illustration of how they had to bring their waters in. And I like how that works in my life because I know when I'm really serving God good, I don't know how to say this. You're a good drink of water, a cold drink of water to some people. Amen. And you are. If you've ever ministered to anybody in your lifetime, you know what? You're refreshing to some people. Amen. If you're on the job or in this community and you show up, You're a refreshing drink of water to some. Because they're hurting. And most people are saying it's going to get worse. They don't know what to do. But here all of a sudden you come in and you bring hope. You bring peace. You bring joy. You bring a word of encouragement. You say, look, you can make it through this. Why? Because God will go with you. It's refreshing. And you can also be, man, you can bring, there's, the Bible says, be the salt and the light. Amen? We can be a mineral that's so strong, He compares us to salt. And y'all have heard me preach about salt here before. Salt changes everything it comes in contact with. Salt never changes itself. It changes everything it touches. Amen? It melts stuff. It'll rot off metal. You go up north and all the vehicles have rust all over them because salt, when it gets a hold of something, it will not change. It will change you. It will change your molecular structure. Guess what? Salt will also preserve. Before refrigeration, they would salt everything. It would preserve the meat. It would preserve food. Amen? We should be able to, when we're added to something, we should be able to preserve some people. Amen? We should not spoil and rotten things. We should make them better. Ain't that amazing how God does this stuff? That's who we are. That's who we are. We should be a nutrient. We should be somebody. When we come in there, man, we're going to change the atmosphere. I remember when I would come into work situations, and the work situations would be bad. Well, guess why? That's why God put you there. You have a sphere of influence to work from. And you've got, if you live your life as a Christian in this world, there are going to be people who notice it wherever you go. You're just different. Amen? You're a different person on the job. You might have flaws and you might have issues, but guess what? Most people are going to know. And they're going to come to you in time and say, you know what? You're the real deal. Amen? They should. If they don't, you need to maybe check up and see where you're standing. Amen? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Every time I read that, I'm thinking, man, I do not want to be that. I don't want to make God throw up. I don't want to make God spit me out. My service, my heart towards Him, my work towards Him, I don't want Him to go, man, this is terrible. I don't know why God used this. Is red letter stuff. This is Jesus telling John the Revelator, write it down this way. If you're a lukewarm Christian, I'm going to spit you out. Could you imagine some of the stuff? Can I just preach it the way God said to preach it? I wonder how much stuff of ours gets spit out. I wonder how much God, stuff that we would probably hang a banner about. I mean, some stuff that we would be proud. Look what we did. God would be like, you did it halfway. You did it lukewarm. You did it where you would get some glory, but not anybody else, especially me. Whew. I know it's a tough thing, but it's written there for a reason. I mean, I want to do stuff that makes God, go, man, that's one of my kids. That's one of my believers. That's one of my church. That's my church. That's my church. They might do it crazy. They might do it, but they do it, all the way. Fervency, with a fire, with a desire. Man, with some kind of passion. Man, I bet Jesus sometimes, if your kids do it with a passion, you'd go, man, that's my kid. He hit his head on it 3 or 4 times, but he's going after it. Amen? That's what I like to say. God says, do it, you're making me sick by this lukewarm Christianity. I want fire. Amen? I want your excitement. And a lot of churches today, I'm being honest with you, they want to get through. I mean, you can go to churches today, they got a clock at the back. And I'm not talking about a clock like an old-fashioned clock. You got a 30-minute countdown. Amen? You got a football program. Amen? This minute. And I'm being honest with you. I know you got to be organized. But if you organize so much that you out-organize the Holy Spirit of God, you have done wrong. If you've got Christianity that can be contained by a person, you've got a scary faith. We've got a ready-mix faith here in this church, and God never upsets it, never turns my apple cart, there's never a minute mistaken. There's never a second taken away. That, I'm going to be honest with you. God will wreck your world sometimes. God will come in your service and turn your service upside down. And if he wants to, he should be able to. But if you sit there and go, no, God, hey, we ain't got time for that. We had you scheduled for this, Lord. Amen? And you know what you've done? You've scheduled God out of your church. You're doing church. It kind of reminds me of the Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house. Y'all remember that story? That's the other alabaster box story. The Pharisee, will you come eat with me? And he came down there and he invited Jesus in. But when he invited him in, he didn't wash his feet and he didn't cover him with a perfume. And Jesus sat there and went, wow, you invited me into your house to show me how great you are. But you brought God, you brought God in here and you tried to show God how you do stuff at your house. And that's what I'm saying. We can't show God how to do church. He is the church. Amen. He's the head. You're about to get it. He's the head of the church. Amen. Let's go a little bit further. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Man, this group of believers, the Laodicea, had some amazing stuff. They had the waters that I talked about. They had money that I talked about. That's why when he said you are broke or you are poor, they were like, we're not either. We're really rich. They had this stuff. They had this black wool, that some of the most pristine wool in all the regions. And guess what? They were making money over that. And guess what? It was a nice covering. And people would come from miles and miles and miles to get this black wool covering. And guess what? They said, you're naked. No, we're not. You're poor and you're naked, and guess what? You're blind. Guess what? They had created an eye salve that almost cured blindness. They thought, when he said these things, it was almost like they're sitting there going, are you insane? Man, we're rich. We're covered in some of the finest wool there ever has been. And number three, we created an eye salve that's almost done away with blindness. We're seeing great. Said, I'm not talking about your outward. I'm talking about your inward. You're spiritually bankrupt. Amen? You're spiritually bankrupt. You're not clothed in righteousness. And guess what? You're blind spiritually. Wow. We're sitting here hearing this. Are y'all hearing what I'm preaching? Are y'all listening to what I'm preaching tonight? Do you know if we went into a lot of churches, I'm talking about mega churches, I'm talking about people that have 5 and 10 and 15,000 people, if we went in there and said, you're spiritually bankrupt, you're spiritually blind, and you're not covered by the righteousness of God, they would look at you and go, you're insane. Check our roll. Check our tithe. We're doing more stuff anyway. They would go insane. And it doesn't matter if the message they preach is gospel or not gospel. They would think you're crazy. The people at Laodicea, when they heard, the modern church today says they measure everything. Do y'all know who the Church of Smyrna is? Well, the Church of Smyrna is back. It's at the very beginning of this. I think it's the second church they talk about. Smyrna is the poorest church. Smyrna, if you drove by it and looked at it, you'd go, what is that? Is that a church? It might even, in our era, in this time, it would be a church that might be in a storefront. That looks kind of like it's a doubles as a church or something. Maybe a grocery store in the morning, a church at night. Maybe a school and then a church, right? They're broke. They're bankrupt. They don't have no money. And guess what? They're persecuted beyond measure. You know what God said about them? The only church in those seven churches, you know what he said? He gave them all these blessings. You know what he said? I have nothing against you. The poorest church, the one of the most persecuted churches, God said, you know what? You have everything you need, and you have nothing physically. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? The one church that if you looked at, I mean, if you went by the Smyrna church, you go, man, that's a real, they ain't got nothing. And God would say, they got everything. That's what I mean when I say I want to be a church out of time. I want some people to look at it and say, man, they ain't got nothing. Yeah, we got it all, right? Let's go a little further. I want y'all to get this. Verse 18, y'all ready? I counsel thee. Is there any better counselor than Jesus? No. He's a good counselor because he's got all the answers. If you ever go to a counselor, most of the time they'll listen to you, but they won't give you any answers. You know why? Most of the time they ain't got any. Jesus has got all the answers. He can listen to you, but eventually he'll give you all the answers. Amen? Let's get in. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. I said, what is that? How do you? Hey, Jesus, okay, I understand we're spiritually bankrupt. Give me some of that that gold tried in the fire. What is that? He said, do the stuff. This is good. It's in Corinthians. Do the stuff that when you stand before the judgment seat of God, it don't burn up. Lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. When you get done, the stuff you've done for God and the stuff you've done for His glory and His honor and you did in His obedience, that stuff will still remain. He said, get rich there. Because that gold right there, the fire will come and it'll still remain. Amen. So guess what? Laying up treasure in heaven. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to store up. You're trying to store up stuff up there, not down here. Amen. To buy fire, tried of me, gold tried of fire in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white in raiment. What right? He said, trade in that black wool for white righteousness. Amen. Trade in that temporal covering for an eternal covering. Ain't that neat? That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. You need God to clear your eyes. Because you think you're the one who's seeing. Do y'all remember when you got saved? Does anybody remember you got saved? Did it not seem like scales came off your eyes? What do I mean by scales? Did you not just start seeing things a whole lot different? Man, everything I thought was right was wrong. And everything I thought was wrong was now right. I mean, it was just like... And now when you're seeing other people go through a struggle without Christ, and they're sitting there going, well, I just don't know what's going on. I just don't know what's happening. I just don't know why my life is going this way. And you're sitting there going, I can see it. You got to get God in it. Amen? You got to get God in that. And you'll start to seeing the choices you're making and the decisions you're taking and the things you're doing have consequences. Amen? And all the consequences don't go away just because you get saved, but you can deal with them a lot better, and you'll stop making dumber decisions. Oh, I hope. I have. It's kind of neat. Because you can see, God, I want to go. God is wanting to turn me in here right here. I can see the traps now instead of the bait. Hallelujah. Preach, brother. I can see the trap instead of the bait. Can you see the trap instead of the bait? See, the devil sets a trap for you, but he puts bait on it that you like. When you get this super eye salve from Jesus, you can start seeing trap. You start going, oh, wait a minute. That is one of my favorite things to do. Always has been. My flesh loves that. But it's too good to be true. Because every time I do that, yeah, the trap slaps shut and I lose limbs. I lose stuff when I do that. You can start seeing past the trouble. That's that eye salve. Amen? Man, that right there is worth this whole message tonight, right? Because, man, when God opens your eyes, I mean, it's... Man, I know as a Christian, I'm going to try to help some adults here tonight. You're going to get this a lot. Well, you're just a hater. You just hate. No, it's not that you're hate. You can see past the you can see past the good of sin. Amen. And when you tell somebody that, it does sound hateful because they still like a lot of the stuff that's in the sin. But what you're telling them is, this is the outcome. Nobody wants to hear, man, you're doing that, but there's an outcome. Be quiet. You know, I don't want, man, you don't, I'm a grown person, I make my own decision. I ain't hurting nobody. No, that's not what I'm saying. For the wages of sin equals death. It don't change for you and it won't change for me. Amen? And it's so amazing that that's in there. But as a church, listen, I want you to hear this. We have to have this as a church. Y'all understand? We can't be a church who conforms and says, some sins are okay with us because we want numbers over being biblically correct. We're trying to load up our boat for the end with numbers instead of the people that God wants in the boat. Oh, I bet Noah would have loved to have done that. Oh, just come on in. It won't matter. You know what I mean? That's not the way it's going to work. All right. Let's get to the chicken with the head cut off part, because that's what we all came for. As verse 19, I want y'all to get this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. 19, y'all, hey, this 19 is a hard pill to swallow, but are you not glad it's there? How many of y'all have good parents? Anybody here have a good parent? Did you ever get any whoopings? Okay. You didn't like the whooping at the time. I guarantee you that. But what it brought about, the peace that it brought about in your life, is what you like about it. You can tell that your parents loved you, not by how well they blessed you, but how well they corrected you. If you really think about it. My parents wouldn't let me. Mine is more like this. I'll give you rules and punishment here where the state or the country won't have to give you rules and punishments their way. State penitentiary. You know what I mean? State prison. I'll give you correction and I'll give you rules here and you'll follow, right? God says, those I love, I rebuke and chasten. Listen, I love reading the Word of God. But reading the Word of God, that's why I believe a lot of times we don't do it, is because it is a mirror more than it is a sword. And if we do say it's a sword, it's a lot of times it's the sword that we use to cut ourselves more than others. Amen? God, He has no problem with correcting you and chastising you. Because guess what? He's trying, right? He's trying to get you to correct. And what does He want you to do when you correct? Repent. Some of y'all need to make this, we need to make this our church verse right here, because we're living in the Laodicean church age. We need to learn how to repent when we go the wrong way. And we will go the wrong way sometimes as a church. Not way off, but when we see God correcting us, we should be able to come up and say, hey, as a church, as leadership of this church, as members of this church, come up and say, hey, God, straighten us out. Turn us around. Amen? Turn us around. Hey, I had this rule. My mom had this rule when I was growing up. She was real scared of motorcycles. And she wouldn't ever get me a motorcycle. And I always wanted one. I was about, 8, 9, 10 years old. My best friends, had motorcycles. And she worked day shifts. So she was gone. And one day we're off school, and she'd always tell me, don't you be on a motorcycle. Don't you be on a motorcycle. Oh, you'll get killed on a motorcycle. Don't stay on a motorcycle. And what did I do every time she was gone? I was on that motorcycle with my friend, right? Glenn Wilson is his name. He had a Kawasaki 100, and we'd ride. He'd let me ride it sometimes, and sometimes he'd ride on back. And one day, I don't know what happened. My mom came home sick or whatever the case may be. We're running about 20 miles an hour, dead right on the highway, and I seen the front end of her car. You know what I did? I jumped off that motorcycle like an idiot. I jumped off, rolled 30, 40 feet, jumped up, started walking. Bloody knees, bloody elbows. My mom pulled up, rolled down the window. She goes, Kim, were you on that motorcycle? No, ma'am. No way. You weren't? I said, uh-uh, no way. She goes, I seen you jump off the motorcycle, and you're bleeding from head to toe, right? Why'd you do that? Well, because it was fun. And I wanted to ride the motorcycle, right? That was a correction. What she wanted me to do, I don't know why I told that story now that I get up. I got so excited telling the story. Why did I tell that story? Oh. Anyway, golly, why did I tell that story? I had it. It was making sense. What she wanted me to do is repent, turn. Hey, I was doing this. I wasn't on the motorcycle. That's how foolish we look to God. No, we're not doing bad. No, we're not doing wrong, right? And He sees us the whole time. We're covered in blood and wounds and warfare and everything else. And He's sitting there going, you're going the wrong way. You're getting hurt. You're doing the stuff I told you not to do. Would you just turn? No, God, I ain't doing it. I'm good. We'll just keep going this way. It causes a lot of hurt. It causes a lot of pain when you're going the wrong way. Amen? So what he wants you to do is turn and do the right thing all the time. All the time. All right, here we go. Y'all ready? To him that over... No, okay. Behold, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door. This verse has probably been misused by more people in the church than any other verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. This is not an individual, this is a church. This is the church at Laodicea. The reason why it's a church like a chicken with its head cut off, because it's running around doing stuff and it doesn't even know that God is separated from the church. The church, he's outside wanting to come in, and they're inside doing the things that they normally do. If you were of any age, you can cut a chicken's head off and it will run around. It will run around in the yard for a good long while and do things like, hey, I'm a regular chicken, but something's different about me. I don't have a head. Amen. Now, I know we're in this sanitized world today, but I grew up right at the end of the era, my grandmother would go wring a chicken's neck. Right? I have seen chicken heads. I have seen chickens laid out on a back porch with their heads cut off. Right? I have seen the blood fly. Look, so what I'm telling you is, guess what? I've seen, and the chickens got the nerves still reacting, and they're still going, and they're still doing. A lot of churches today are operating like a church, but the head, which is Christ, is on the outside saying, I would love to come in and be with you. Can I come in? And guess what? He's such a gentleman. He's a gentleman to come into your heart, your soul. He's a gentleman to come into the church and operate. He will not force himself to run the church. If you want church without him, you can have it. Or you can have church with him. I'd rather have church with him. When Jesus comes in and sits down and sups with us, lives change and we get better. If Jesus is on the outside knocking to come in, we don't ever get better. What we have is a clubhouse without God in it. Amen? To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. You hear what he said to one of the lukewarmest churches, one of the churches that was probably the worst out of the seven. He said, if you'll correct, repent, guess where you'll be sitting at the end of this? In heaven, right where I am. Right with all the other seven churches. One I told you about, Smyrna, amen? And Philadelphia, those churches that were persecuted more than any other churches and still glorified Jesus. Guess what? Guess who will be sitting right there beside them? Laodicea. Us. This church age. And we'll be sitting there. You know what some of them will say? I can't believe you kept it together. With all the distraction, with the way the world went, I can't believe we had it. We had the fire of the brand new. We just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here you are at the very end, in the darkest of days, you were able to live for Jesus. Let's all stand.